call the Board of Supervisors back to open session. A report on closed.
Yes, we went into closed session at 12:26, came out at 2:17. One reportable item pertaining to items 14E, initiation of litigation. The board approved settling a matter rather than bringing suit. The content of that will be made once the settlement is finalized. The motion was made by Supervisor Hopp, it was seconded by Supervisor Ogren. Supervisor Cobbs abstained, and it was approved to settle the matter 4-0.
All right. Reasons are already stated. I'll be, unless you need me to restate, Mr. Kidd.
I
think the record indicates because of an FPPC opinion, himself and means of act issues.
It'll just be on a different audio. I didn't know if that was important.
All this, okay.
No, it's fine. It's on the record.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, which one are we on, Wendy?
I show 13B, yep.
Okay. Community Development Planning Division and Public Hearing to consider a resolution approving the rescission and reentry of existing land use contracts under application APA 22-04 for property located on Facey Bingham Road, south and east of the city of Etna, California, APNs 023-410-090. And 023-410-100 for the Jobson Williams and Act contract rescission on the entry APA 22-04 project. That's the opening of the thing. Let's put it out.
This is Bernadette Sisson, Assistant Planner. The applicant proposes to rescind their property from the existing Williams and Act contract. The contract that it's currently under is shared with 8 other property owners with a specified use of ranching. As the current primary agricultural use of the property is the growing and harvesting of timber, the applicant also proposes that the primary agricultural use designated on a new contract be that of timber production. Approving the rescission and reentry of the Williams and Act contract would bring their property under their own individual contract. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to CEQA Guidelines Section 15317, Open Space Easements or Contracts, and adopt resolutions approving the rescission of the applicant's property and re-entry of the new Williams and Act contract. Thank you.
Okay. Any correspondence, Wendy?
No, not at the clerk.
Any reports or arguments from other agencies?
We received none.
Okay. Opponents' arguments? Opponents, I don't see any. Public comment?
Seeing none online.
Okay. So I don't see any rebuttals. Is this going to be continued? This is a first reading?
No, this is a resolution. It can be closed.
So I'm going to close the hearing. Discussion by the board.
Move to approve.
Second.
And that's the recommended motion, correct? Thank you.
And now it's not the recommendation. Wendy?
Yep. All righty. Supervisor Hopp?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okie dokie. Let's see, we're going to move on to item C, Community Development. Public hearing to consider the Woodson Agricultural Preserve Amendment and Williamson Act Contract Rescission and Reentry Project, APA 22-03, for property located near the community of McDowell. This was continued. We're going to extend it again for that.
Yes, we're requesting this be extended or continued to the December 6th meeting. We have found that in determination that the parcels that they've included in their request may not have been legally created, and so properties that are assessed for Williams and that contract are evaluated as a legal property, and therefore we requested old records from the recorder's office, and they are not easily accessible, so he's seeking those archived records.
So we're going to continue this, if you don't mind?
You might need longer than the 6th.
Yeah, is that a realistic? I mean,
yes, he's Craig's gotten us the records.
Okay, cans of worms can we open? My goodness. And that's not a criticism. It's just who would believe that?
I feel you were saying.
Can we do a motion for that?
That was going to be my question.
Yeah, I'll so move to continue to December 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Okrin?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Oh, yeah. Maybe I can miss one of those meetings. Item D, Community Development. Public hearing to consider adopting a resolution amending the rules for the establishment and administration of agricultural preserves and road snap contracts.
Good afternoon, Haley Lane, Planning Director. So during our August 2nd Board of Supervisors meeting, the board had directed staff to work with other county departments such as County Council, the Ag Commissioner, the Assessor's Office, to update guidelines to better reflect agricultural production within the county, and this was during the Parsons item, talking about their Willing Snap contracted land, where it was identified that the use of selling off-site wood was not something that was, you know, clearly spelled out in the guidelines. And so staff, we have met with the Ag Commissioner, County Council, the Assessor's Office, and other stakeholders, such as the Farm Bureau, to discuss the guidelines and provide a menu of updates. And so I will just summarize them here for discussion. And I will note, Williams Act is a super important program within the county. I believe 10% of all land, both public and private, is Williams Act, and that totals at 29% of private land is all under Williams Act contracts. So it's a super important program for our county.
Can we quantify the dollar amount to that?
I actually have it. $535,000.
General fund dollars, I read it.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, estimated
Thank
loss.
You.
Yes. So, since this is an important document, you know, it's public facing, and so we took this opportunity to clean up the language to kind of just provide better readability for the general public, because it can be really confusing. So, in your staff report package, there is a clean copy of the edits and then also a redlined copy, so hopefully you can follow along with that. We also added language to form a review committee to internally review ongoing Williams Act issues, such as identifying compatibility or consistency issues. So the way the guidelines are written currently is that the administrator, which is the planning director, makes all determinations, but that's only one person. It should be, you know, concerted effort with the Ag Commissioner. So we just wanted to instill some sort of process so we could kind of work collectively together to make those determinations for the board. There was language updates to better provide definitions of agricultural uses, to better define compatible uses, such as selling off-site wood. There was language added to clarify how residential uses play out or involved are in these contracts. We defined processes and roles of the departments that how they take in enforcing and monitoring contracts. And then there was language added to clearly define the non-renewal process, which is identified in government code, but we hadn't had that clearly defined in our guidelines. So we decided to integrate that into the document. So those are just my high-level comments, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions, so happy to answer them.
Okay, where are we? This, any correspondence on this, Wendy?
No, not at the clerk's level.
You know, I find it really odd for something that's so important to this. You know, I struggle with this all the time. You know, where is the people that, you know, so important? Yeah, you know, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't receive any comments to our office either.
Okay. Nothing for other departments or outside agencies?
Mm-mm. Nope.
So there's no proponents and no opponents. Any public comment?
Seeing none online.
One here.
I didn't get my sheet in, but I wouldn't mind.
You can go ahead, please, come on up. State your name for the record. You have 3 minutes.
Sure, I'm Ryan Walker, president of the Assistant County Farm Bureau. I just want to start by thanking the Board of Supervisors and the Planning Department for including us in this discussion. I think from farm use perspective, Williams Snack is obviously very important. Program, and without subvention funds, we understand it's kind of a fragile program. It is important to us, and it is certainly our state policy and our local policy, that it be fairly rigidly applied, because we understand that if non-ag properties, including Williamson Act, it hurts the entire program as a whole. And that's been largely a problem. It's difficult to get funding for a program that costs the county money. We understand that. We're sympathetic to that. So So we're certainly in favor of reviewing properties and trying to get non-ag properties. Williams Act is an ag, a production ag program. It's not an open space program, it's a production ag program. And so getting non-production ag properties off the rolls are important to us and important to the survival of the program without subvention funds, which we don't see coming back anytime soon. That being said, I think the changes that were made are all good, especially given that our program in Siskiyou County has gotten somewhat convoluted in that these contracts contain multiple landowners and difficulties when you have one out of a group of landowners who's not complying. In the past, I think it was the sense that you had to cancel the entire contract and then renew modify the contract, which was somewhat expensive for the existing landowners. So I believe the new, and this is my view of the new language, it allows the Board of Supervisors to do a partial non-renewal, which would allow getting those parcels that aren't compliant out of a contract without causing the landowners to spend, I believe it's $800 and some odd now for each contract they have to amend, which would be good. So, I mean, ultimately, that meets our goals of having a strictly applied program, but not one that's overly onerous on those that are participating. And I don't think what comes out of this is overly onerous. I mean, there's, I think, once every 3 years, a request for information. The sorts of information you can show ag income is, broad-ranging and very flexible. Certainly, at Farm Bureau, we've gotten some frantic phone calls from people, but I think overall, for the most part, the planning department's very good on working with Williams Act and not, using a heavy sledge to get things done. But I do think this is a move in the right direction, so I would be in support of that.
Thank you. I would just like to respond, Mr. Walker. One of the things that I think I struggle with Williams Act, I'm glad you're cognizant of the effects of the lack of income to the county, but help on your end. I'm talking about the Farm Bureau because it's not a countywide; it's a statewide organization.
Yeah.
To push back on the state to fund it. I call every year to Senator Gawley, and he's doing what he can. We need to educate urban supervisors,
yeah.
The people that urban and suburban assembly members.
I will say I've been on the state policy committee, land use policy committee. Williams-Mack's been on our agenda every year for the last, I don't know how many years. Mm-hmm. It is high on our list. My understanding is it is extremely unlikely we'll get the sort of subvention funds we've gotten in the past, sort of a blank check. It is, I think, on the radar screen that something in the form of money for planning departments, which may have some control strings, as you might imagine, coming out of Sacramento, could be in the works. So I do think that there's some hope, but it's not going to look like it did in the old days, is my understanding, as much as I would like to just see it going back to, it's budget dust. It's nothing what this program costs the state, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none. No rebuttals. Is this just an ordinance you amend?
This is a resolution, so you can close the hearing.
I'm closing that. Board member discussion.
I have a lot of things to
go through. I got a quick one.
Oh, go ahead.
Until you get warmed up.
All right.
What we were doing with the survey and the water element, that was, is that kind of being removed somewhere along this dialogue as well? Is that correct?
Correct, yeah. So the new iteration when we send out surveys, we've been discussing simplifying it, basically asking, how many acres do you have, what you produce. The water is going to be completely out of that survey.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to the red line version.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm not necessarily confident. A lot of questions.
Okay.
With some of the stuff.
Okay.
On page 4 of the red line version,
mm-hmm.
Where it talks about the role of agriculture for river administrator.
Mm-hmm.
The underlying red line piece talks about the agricultural preserve advisory committee.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about membership and cautious of when you say et cetera, because there's a lot of et cetera out there that don't have ag interests.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, is this new board then going to be appointed by this board?
So our intent was trying to create something that would be internally housed within a county department, not something appointed by the board. And so the thought process, because the administrator is the one that comes here and provides recommendations, right? So this group would act to, aid that process. So the administrator would still be coming, but then, you know, there would be this, you know, internal committee. Should there be an issue of, you know, hey, can this person do this on this land? I don't know. Maybe we should have a meeting, discuss, and get some, you know, feedback prior to coming to you guys, was the intent.
Well, I'm going to be blunt. I'm not looking to see the county end up in a lawsuit due to lack of representation.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those that challenge our water uses.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears, if it's not appointed, that it's open-ended.
Mm-hmm.
And may be challenged on that basis to
mm-hmm.
incorporate others into this that are not experts on this side.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's,
yeah, we can remove
I just see that as a vulnerability.
Sure.
Can you explain to me the role? I know that there are lots of layers of land use planning in the county.
Mm-hmm.
So how does the ag preserve itself fit into the general plan and the Scott Valley plan? Is there a hierarchy?
It's kind of like an additional layer. I might have Bernadette speak to it because she's the one in the weeds with the preserves.
So the best way I can picture it is a zoning layer, is how it's described to me. So it's in addition to their zoning. So obviously the general plan and Scott Valley area plan are applied primarily, then their county zoning, and then the agricultural preserve, if it is applicable and adopted, is the next layer, and then the contract.
Okay. Thank you. I assumed that, but I didn't want to assume that.
Yeah.
Moving on to page 6, minimum parcel preserve size in bullet 2. I have commercial greenhouse operations, non-cannabis, in my district. How are they treated with this minimum parcel size requirement? Are they excluded if they don't meet this parcel size?
So, for the ag preserve of less than 100 acres, so they're excluded, right? Or not excluded?
Through the chair.
Sorry.
Perhaps maybe what Sue Russ Howard is hitting on is mm-hmm. the intensive farming where we have a 10-acre piece that deals with that. So, for example, looking at the succulents, perhaps that are Fort Jones,
mm-hmm.
That preserve, so it would be at 10
acres. What I'm also looking at, too, is that as some parcels are split off adjacent to some of the cities, intensive ag, like Jobson's operation, are looking at possibly incorporating themselves into the city limits to avoid being caught up and not having enough acres to continue into an ag preserve. Suffer the consequences of those taxes. Zero on that.
Through the chair, if I may. So the preserve, like I mentioned a moment ago, is like a zoning layer. So once that is applied to the property, once that has been resolved, it's in an agricultural preserve, it stays within that agricultural preserve. So currently, the county has adopted that we will not be creating any new agricultural preserves. So this really isn't a point. We've adjusted boundaries on agricultural preserves to accommodate for boundary line adjustments and things of that sort, but that wouldn't be a question that would be coming up. It would be the question of, like Rick pointed out, when they come to their contract, and that's when we talk about the concentrated ag uses. And that's where the 40-acre minimum comes in, and then down to the 10-acre minimum for the concentrated uses.
Okay. Then I had the same question on E on the following page 7 on nursery operations. It talks about at least 40 acres in size. And I think you've answered that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's flip over to page 8, the full first paragraph, it says compatibility is evaluated by the administrator and the APAC on a case-by-case basis. Evaluated and then what? If it's not deemed a permissible use, or if there's a changed circumstance in that use, mm-hmm. does it go directly here or back to the planning commission? What's the process?
It would be through the non-renewal process, right?
Yeah, we would bring it to the board.
Which, yeah, we would bring it to the board if it would go through a non-renewal. So if there was something deemed inconsistent or incompatible, it would be going to you guys.
Okay. All right. On the same page,
mm-hmm.
I'm interested in how conservation easements may change the intent of a ag, Williamson Ag Preserve, and what they do with it. Because that's a loss of production,
right.
Which we should not be subsidizing.
Right, yeah.
You know, some of them facilitate farming operations. Some
sure.
of them strip the water from them
mm-hmm.
And put them into a 1701 or maybe it's a 1701.
Mm-hmm.
That, in essence, reduces the ability to be commercial ag land
yeah.
any longer. And we should not have those continue as Williamson Ag Preserve, in my judgment.
Yeah, and we can add that in the guidelines as well, right?
I'm talking specifically like what was done to the Bouvier Ranch in Scott Valley.
About the conservation program.
Happened to the
mm-hmm.
also happened to the Bouvier Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Are they not running cows on the Bouvier Ranch? Are they not running cows on the Bouvier Ranch?
Can't without water.
And this, yeah, so the conservation program, right, so section...
Yeah, to me, any program that diminishes the ability
mm-hmm.
to use water
yeah.
strips the ability to have that commercial.
Yeah, definitely. And that's just carryover. That's, I believe, the conservation program, the conservation easements have always been identified in our guidelines. So we hadn't really made any edits to that section, but we can definitely...
Remove it, or have
a further yeah. conversation about it.
I'd like that looked at because it's a big piece of what I see going on with some of the planning of the ranches where some of the heirs don't want to ranch anymore.
Right. I agree. Okay.
Number 7 under A.
Mm-hmm.
Commercial breeding and training horses, including training for races as stock horses. The language itself is exclusionary only to horses.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my district, it ignores my main commercial activity, which is packing.
Mm-hmm.
And commercial breeding of stock for packing that includes horses, but it's also mules, in some cases goats, in some cases llamas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking for something
that would include that use. Mm-hmm.
Because there are, I think that's just a remnant of history.
Sure.
Anyway.
Yeah, so we could add language to better define that to make it more inclusive.
Ian, on page 9. Growing the timber with a purpose, it's bullet number 11.
Mm-hmm.
Growing the timber with a purpose of harvesting timber, the harvesting timber is necessary processing facilities. I don't know what that is because I can't find the definition anywhere.
True, correct, yeah. So we could better define that. That's a carryover from the previous guidelines. So we can add a more clear definition for bullet point 11.
And then toward the bottom of page 9, number 5, The language is not current with current state law. Current state law allows someone on their property within the Williamson Act to do their own exemptions without a forester doing those. And there are also other things other than NTMPs and full THPs that allow harvesting for fuels purposes and other purposes on the land that this area doesn't respect.
Yes, and for some reason I just noticed on the redlined version and the clean copy, it didn't capture that we actually deleted number 5. So if you go to on the clean copy, it's still page 9. That should be the correct order. It's 3 bullet points instead of 5. So we had taken out that, I believe. Or no, it's still there. Okay, so.
Since number is number 3 instead of 5?
Yeah. I can update
which
that.
Section? Give me a section.
Section A, commercial agricultural production uses. So it calls out the 11 uses, and then this is the second paragraph, so 1, 2, and 3, where it starts with, in order for the use to be considered as devoted to the commercial production of ag. Mm-hmm. Page 9.
Is it? I'm looking at screens. It's not showing pages. Sorry.
And I'm lost.
I'm in section 3, but I'm still looking for.
Just so, this is the clean copy version. So we have commercial ag production uses where it calls these out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be on the following page.
Give me a Roman that will help me.
A. So it's on 4.
4.
I don't see any timber use in that one.
On the 3 points.
Yes.
Yeah.
What you just pointed.
So there is this similar language. I'll just read out bullet point 3. The property, if I think it's the similar language, the property is at least 40 acres in size and produces timber or other forest products under an active non-industrial timber management plan, an active harvest plan, or a timber harvest plan that was filed and executed within the last 15 years, or registered professional forester assessment, which determines the property to be legitimate timberland.
Yeah, my whole point.
Yeah, that's up to date.
Is that there are options other than using an RPF, although I'd like to do it for you.
Yeah.
There are other options available that are commercial uses of that timber exemptions that actually Senator Dolly put through.
Yeah,
in the last several years.
Yeah, so we'll look at the correct language
for
the current state law for that.
Page 10,
mm-hmm.
Top of page, exemptions.
Mm-hmm.
Should we mention other state regulatory habitat restrictions?
Okay.
Because it talks about a condition of land, but it doesn't talk about regulatory conditions imposed upon the land.
Yes.
They come with have to have descriptions on the USA.
Yes, okay, I can include that.
Page 11, under residential uses, I'd like you to explain to me how you're going to contain that, because it looks to me, that first paragraph, that if I build a farmhouse for support of the preemption activity, it's a way to get around the residential restrictions, like in the Scott Valley plan, if you no longer need a farmhouse, you can start to rent it out.
So this was brought up at our roundtable with the other agencies, that there may be several older farms within the county that are currently renting out the old farmhouses that farm labor used to live in, and that they could potentially see, we would potentially need to non-renew those should that be come to the county's attention if someone were to file a complaint with code enforcement. And so we thought, I mean, it does make sense that there are quite a few properties that do have second and third homes on them that maybe were used for farm labor housing, or family members that maybe have moved out. And so that's why we wanted to write that in there to protect those, because they probably do have legitimate commercial ag uses, but could be in jeopardy of losing their contract because they have those extra homes, and what could they do with them if they don't need farm labor housing, they don't have family to live there.
So it's still not understanding that to me the difference is if you're going to rent it to someone who's actually engaged in the Williamson Act commercial piece on that piece of ground, then I agree with you. But if you're all of a sudden going to turn it into a commercial rental,
mm-hmm.
I can't go there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking at, I'm not saying they're doing this, I'm just saying that I'm looking going forward, like with the Sky Valley plan, I know we're suffering immensely for multifamily dwelling stuff over there, but it's not zoned for it anyway.
Right.
It's like a camel's nose under the tent here to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're actively engaged in policing that, I guess that's
go ahead, we can call it.
Yeah.
Just let me know when. Mr. Walker, public comments closed, so you can follow up afterwards with the ladies and you'll incorporate your thoughts.
Page 13, Mr. Turner. The end of the first paragraph says you may consult with county council. Shouldn't that be shall?
We can make that language change.
Might help us a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last paragraph on the same page, administrator determines that use is consistent with the contract for the property, length of that, applicable zoning requirements and rules. Administration shall forward a copy of the determination of the Board of Supervisors for its information. Is that for our concurrence? Or are we not making a decision there?
Oh, yeah, I can make that language change to update.
Because that would be the process of an honor.
Mm-hmm.
I agree to some extent to clarify whether the board is supposed to be really taking in a recommendation, or it's truly just for information, it's recommendation for final board approval. That should be clear in the guidelines. And if it's just that, if it's just FY to you, there's nothing inherently wrong with that, but.
No, but the paragraph to me implies that you're making a determination. determination on whether you're not going to renew or not. That's something that comes to the board.
Okay.
And it's just confusing to me, though, the way it's currently stated.
Yeah, no, well, in this case, it's, I don't think we're talking about a determination not to renew. It's a determination about whether some new proposed use that nobody's thought of before is within the guidelines or not. And is the role of the board to simply be informed if the planning director agrees, or is the role of the board to make the actual decision on the proposed new use?
I'll let you work that out. The next page, then, though, makes a statement at the top, which I'm not sure how this can work. Should the board wish to review any such determination, we have to make a decision in 10 days at the next regularly scheduled meeting. How are we supposed to know, aggregately as a board, if we're bound by the Brown Act?
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe that language is in the final version. The trouble with this redline version is it seems to be an early version. I do not believe that language at the top of page 14 is in the proposed version.
That wouldn't make me happy.
Because I had the same question.
Okay.
I recommended it be taken out because of just that issue.
Confirming it's not in the clean copy.
Okay. And I think Supervisor Kossoff already answered my other question with personal information such as water use and things on the next page.
Mm-hmm.
Should be protected information if the county still gathers personally identify the information, particularly with regard to financial operations and this kind of thing that is specific to the parcel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had same comments on the bottom of the page regarding the TSP thing and stuff like that.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Thank you.
I'm done.
Michael, any follow up?
Nope.
Too much over?
I'm good.
Okay, I'm guessing this is coming back.
Sounded like it.
I think that would be the
yes.
Consensus.
Yep, definitely.
Thank you. You guys
yep.
are doing a great job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, hang on.
Oh.
We need to continue this.
Yes, we're going to continue this to the next. You tell me when?
Well, the hearing was officially closed. Are we reopening it? Are we going to take more comment?
This is going to come back in a new improved, clean version.
Yeah, I would reopen it, though,
if
we continue on this.
Okay.
Public comment may want to be made on the changes.
All right, so I'm going to reopen the hearing. We're premature on closing it.
And
we're
then
continue
December 6th would be the next available meeting.
Is that going to be adequate enough time? I would prefer you
sure,
to come back
exactly
when you
got
you would have adequate time to answer all the questions, preferably to get to my fellow supervisors so they can give the final blessing, if you will.
The next would be the 13th.
I would say the 13th.
We have KFC.
Yeah, well, we have Cater Creek, yeah, the end of November, and then potentially December. So what do you think?
Potentially both meetings, huh?
Yeah.
6 and the 13th.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Scheduled for the 13th.
The 13th?
Yeah.
Okay. December 13th.
Continue to the 13th. And since this was a public hearing, you recommend a motion for that?
Yes, sir.
Correct.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
All righty. Supervisor Hell?
Aye. Thank you for your patience.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes. Thank you again. And once again, ladies, you did a great job. Moving right along. Where are we at next?
Should be down to the appointments in lieu. We want to take a break and get Brandon back in here.
I think that's a good idea.